Blog Talk Radio.
Hey! Somebody wanted me to play this song again. Hold on, I'm coming and I'm here. I tell you, and it's acting up a little bit, but hello, 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 all you people out there. This is Dr. Cupertino. Hi there, hi there, hi there. We're going to be on air for 1 hour. I don't know why, but I'm happy about that. And you know what? We really can talk a lifetime about the colon. And I know many of you are tuning in to hear Dr. Cupp talk about the colon. I love to talk about the colon, and I'm going to tell you why right now. Number one, everything that you put in your mouth, if it's a pill, if it's something you're drinking, or something you're chewing, guess what? It has to pass through the colon. So that's why you guys might have heard the old adage about, oh, well, life and death begins and ends in the colon. Well, we are going to talk about that. This show definitely also has other connotations to it. Our title of this show is I Am Broke and I'm Lonely and I Do Not Know Why. Well, you're going to find out a little bit about that why. And the subtitle is My Colon the Problem? The answer is yes. Many of you are living a poor, miserable, rotten life. You don't want your friends or your enemies to know that. You don't want mommy and daddy to know that. You feel that you don't have what you know you should have because you worked hard, you've been kind, you've been nice, you have been feeding the poor, you've been giving clothes away, you've been running to church 5 times a week. I do know some that actually go there 5 meetings a week. I know Jehovah's Witnesses attend 5 times. You have been doing everything, but your life has just really been poorly executed, and year after year, And most of everything that you've ever dreamed and hoped for, that you put your hands on, has crumbled before your eyes, even in the face of your enemies. And I know some of you out there are tired of envying others and what they have, what they talk about getting, what college their kids are in, what their husband bought them, and yeah, 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 yeah. Well, guess what? Your colon just might be responsible. And I know many might say, well, I don't know why Dr. Cupertino is going there about the colon. You know, I have at least 1 or 2 bowel movements a week, and I feel okay. I'm not lightheaded. I don't have any issues going on there that my doctor should know about. Well, we will find out in this hour segment that having a bowel movement 50 times a week, that still might not be enough. And we are going to address why it might not be enough for you. Let's think again. And I'm saying that because definitely this show, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, the segment's going to cover the financial aspects from the metaphysical and the esoteric standpoint, why some of you might not have what you want. And I know some of you know already that money is energy. Anything that you can use and exchange. Anytime you exchange something, the very act of exchanging is energy. Energy is involved. I know if you've had physics or even if you've had first year chemistry, you know that. So we will learn that the power of money is energy in motion, which is basically movement. And definitely when we start talking about the colon is responsible for moving energy. The colon exerts a lot of energy. That's why some get off of the toilet and from having a bowel movement and they are just worn out. I've heard them say that. I don't know why I'm weak and tired. I have some clients that say after they have a bowel movement, they have to go and lie down. Definitely, the fact that the colon is involved in moving waste out of the body definitely involves energy. So the movement of money is energy. The moving of stale waste, fecal matter out of the body, it also takes energy. So we are going to be touching a little bit on that. So I want you to call in. We have space for several, many, many callers, several people that have emailed me about this that perhaps don't want to come online. Get online. You might have a question that can help some of your friends. And, of course, if your enemy is listening, that's all the better. But, again, we will be talking in reference to the law of attraction, poverty, and death and bowels. Now, I'm going to start by bringing up the physical aspects of the colon. Many people do not know what a colon is. Some do not know where the colon is inside the body. Many do not know what the colon is made up of, whether it's muscle tissue, sinew, water, logged tissue. They do not know. We're going to touch a little bit later on about why you have a colon, but basically, when we start talking about the colon, we want to educate those on what the colon actually is. The colon is a part of the digestive system. It borders around your large intestines and your small intestines. You have three parts to your colon. You have the ascending colon, you have the transverse colon, and you have the descending colon. Descending means down. So if you go online and just type in colon, you want to type in description or just type in anatomy of the colon, you will see exactly how the colon is positioned in the body and how it is also used to protect other organs because of its size. Now, the colon, from a physiological standpoint, is used to aid in the digestive process by moving food that no longer has nutrition in it, that's known as waste and toxins, any substance by which the nutrition is gone out of the substance that you've taken in, is the colon's job to help digest that, move it, not just the stomach. Some people think, oh, no, my stomach, oh, I put things in my stomach, is my stomach digesting? The colon is partly responsible for the end of the digestive process and moving that waste through the colon aspect, this piping and tubing that some say it's six feet there. I don't think so. The intestines are about 6 feet. But basically, and this is in a grown adult, but that colon is responsible for moving the waste, breaking it down, getting the nutrition and nutrients out of that, and then, of course, adding liquid to the actual hardened substance so that you will not have a problem with constipation. That is basically the job of the colon. The colon is made up of muscle. It's made up of internal muscle in the body. It's bordered by muscle, and it's partly muscle. It's also partly mucosal, which means it contains other liquid substances that also aid in forming the feces, giving it a shape, giving it a content by way of the hydra in the colon, and then helping that to become something that can easily be taken out of the body through the rectal anal process. Now, that is the physical aspects of the colon. But I'm going to talk about something that many might have read in early chemistry or early medical courses, or maybe something that you read in a biology book. And it has to do with how the ancient Egyptians associated feces with decay, and then they associated decay with death. They did not believe in anything such as maybe colon irrigations, high colonic, you know, by which there's 20 or more gallons that's pumped by a machine, you know, with an apparatus that relies on gravity to help move some of that waste out of the body. They believed, these ancient Egyptians, and I'm going there first before I carry on, but these Egyptians believed that since waste was something that early in the life process destroyed the body with decay, they took great means to move food, waste, toxins, anything that might be harmful to the body out of the body. And they even went so far as removing the stomach and the intestines as part of their embalming process when someone died, because they really knew that problems started there in the stomach, colon, intestinal area, and they even figured after death it would be a good thing to remove the stomach and the intestines along with the colon out of the way, because they knew that that would hinder the Egyptians going into the afterlife, and that's what most of them, if not all of them, actually believed in. Now, I'm saying that because we're on to something here. If the Egyptians felt that way, and they did process the embalming process by taking out the colon, the stomach, and the intestines, the Greeks and those subsequent nations practiced the same thing. Some of them in the day of Herodotus, for 3 days of each month, they made sure that they purged themselves by means of emetics and drenches and drinking lots of water to make sure that that colon was kept clean, because esoterically speaking, they knew that if the colon was filled with decay, filled with stale waste, filled with fecal matter that has been on the intestinal tract, colon, walls of the colon, and still in the stomach, they knew that that was going to be an early death, of course, but if it was not properly removed out of the body, they knew that the outer world would mirror their inner world. In other words, if they were stagnated by way of their colon not being able to process the food out of the body, they knew that if the colon was blocked in some manner, of course, that's going to bring disease, but they figured something in their outer world would be blocked, motion. If the colon was perhaps weakened, the walls were weakened, it could not properly get the feces out, they associated that with weakened circumstances for them to obtain wealth. Now, this is esoterically speaking, because if you think in terms of the colon and where that colon is situated in the circle content of the body, that stomach, abdominal area, all the major organs are there. And if the colon acts also as a protector of that, these people, these early ancient ones that very, very carefully guarded their health, meaning they guarded their life, they knew that that colon had to be properly cared for internally, lest the outer world reflect problems. Problems in the colon, problems in the outer world. If they had any type of issue that involved them being constipated or not being able to have two bowel movements at least per day, if they knew that that colon was somehow prolapsed, meaning that it was not properly situated, something in their life would be out of order. So they made sure that they kept the colon in order, and they kept that colon in order by making sure that they cleansed the colon. They detoxified the colon. They fumigated the colon. They fasted 3 days out of each month. They ate foods that would not be put in them to clog them up, to stagnate them, to drench up their piping system. They knew somehow, metaphysically speaking, that their inner world manifested their outer world. It didn't matter how much they were hoping to gain or get. It didn't matter how many children they were hoping to gain or get. It didn't matter how many houses. None of that hinged on the fact that they knew, spiritually, metaphysically, and esoterically speaking, that if I'm messed up on the inside, my outer world is going to be messed up. And that's where I am going tonight with our conversation. And again, please, please, please feel free to actually call in. Now, someone just sent me an email and they said they want me to talk a little bit more about the colonic. You know, I certainly will, but I want to hold this and you stay on your line and I will talk a little bit about that. I know you have here that you wanted to ask me whether or not that was good for homosexuals. I will really touch on that. But we have a caller that I'm going to bring in at this time. I'm going to bring the caller in. Let's see here. Okay. Come on in. Let me get you in. Okay. Let's see. We have caller. Hi there. Hi there. You're online.
Hi.
Who
I'm
am
Dana.
I speaking with? Hi, Dana. How are you? Well, you know, tonight's so-called session, and I'm calling it that because, boy, these lines are really lighting up. We're talking about the colon and the aspects of being broke, lonely, hungry. Do you have anything you want to add to that, or did you have a question for Dr. Cupertino?
I think it's the same, doctor, because when I was doing okay and working and everything, I didn't have a problem, you know, with my colon or, you know, using the bathroom regularly. But since I've been having problems, I've been having the same kind of problems going to the bathroom.
Oh, so in other words, you're saying that you have some outer issues, maybe financial problems, you have some health problems,
all
you
of
have
them.
Some illness,
all of them.
And you're also constipated as well.
That's right, that's right. And I was wondering, you think it could be stress or something or what?
Well, yes, because if we're thinking in terms of the actual colon being a muscle, let's say you're going down the street and a car swerves your way. The first thing you're going to do is brace yourself. But in the process of bracing yourself, you're also not allowing your muscles, which your colon is also in that abdominal region, those stomach muscles, to actually be relaxed. You're pulling in and you're holding tight and taut those stomach muscles. So definitely, if you have a lot of stress in your life, every time the stress precursor from the brain interacts with the nervous system, my goodness, the body does not have its right away as far as relaxation. The nerves are on edge and the body is tightened. Definitely, stress does play a lot with that. And see, Dana, a lot of times when people are constipated, they say, oh, well, I just can't go to the bathroom. But constipation is just the fact that the fecal waste cannot come out of the body, whereas if someone is clogged up, they can't hardly even make it to the bathroom. At least a constipated person.
It keeps you with a headache.
Well, yes, because anything that you can't let out of the body, it has a tendency to try to come out of the body by other ways. And I know several of my clients have said that when they haven't been going to the bathroom for maybe a week and a half or so, they started to vomit, and out of the mouth came feces. So definitely that pressure, if it can't come out one way, then it will have a tendency to come out through the mouth area, and then the blood pressure will rise, and that's where you get the headache. Anytime something cannot come out of the body, that should come out of the body through the digestive processes, that pressure will back up, and guess what? It will give you headaches. And there's over 15 million Americans walking around, and I'm just talking about in the United States, walking around with high blood pressure. Half of those high blood pressures are caused by a bloated stomach, which means there's a problem with the colon. Their colon is impacted. They've had so much, they have a lot of waste there. They're relying on laxatives every week just to get that feces out. It can cause headache, but now headache is the first sign that there's something wrong with the blood pressure. So if you continue to have those headaches, have your blood pressure checked if you're not already on high blood pressure medication, and then the doctor will definitely say, okay, Dana, I want you to go on a vegan diet. I want you to eat fruit and vegetable maybe a month just to give the body a rest. But definitely your outer world mirrors your inner world. If a person is running back and forth to the bathroom, he's losing money. That's esoterically speaking. And it's not so much that you are losing money, but that energy draining that waste out of the body, something else is draining out of the body. And really, you know, there's a Asian cult, and I call them a cult because they're over in China, and they believe in daily purging. If their stomach tends to be more than an inch outward, you know, they want to make sure that there's nothing in their intestines, there's nothing in their body, period, nothing in their stomach. And they do tend to be very tiny people. And if you ever notice how the Asians eat, 9 out of 10 times, it is nothing compared to the American diet. But I want you to be very, very careful if you continue to have those issues. The main thing I tell people, clean up your outer life. If you have men or women in your life that you know should not be there, but you're just hanging on because you don't want to be alone, or you have other issues that you know you've been putting off dealing with, I tell people, go ahead. If you clean up your outer life, I'm telling you the truth, that in your inner world will definitely be reflected. And then if you start first with the inner you, your outer life will balance out. But if your body sees that you're fighting for its happiness, if your body sees that you're fighting for its joy, if your body sees that you're fighting not to let anybody keep you down from your promise of divinity, things that as a child you said you're going to do, things as a child you hoped and dreamed in. If your body sees that you're going to get on up and you're going to stand on your 2 feet and you're going to fight for you because there's no other person like you, guess what? All of a sudden you're going to get a new energy. You're going to, something good's going to come in your life to say, keep on going. But most people, when they feel any aspect of sickness, they tend to just say, oh, forget it, I'm going to give up. But you got to fight for your body, and guess what? That body will fight for you. I'm so happy, Dana, that you called.
Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome.
I'll start right now taking care of this.
Start cleaning up.
Okay, and it was nice talking to you, Doctor.
Well, listen now, if you need any colon, intestinal, stomach fumigation products, don't forget to contact me at 424-634-9615, and that is the other line for the All-American Herbal and Holistic Healthcare Clinic. We have over 3,000 good protocols and over 8,000 now different products to actually help you. And basically, before you hang up, people don't realize when you eat vegetation, those leafy things, if you were to take a walk inside of the colon and look on the side of the colon walls, I have a picture that I can email you. So when you hang up, make sure my other call assistant gets your phone number. What happens is that the inside of that colon wall resembles a leaf. In other words, it's saying if you match me with a leaf to a leaf to a leaf, guess what? I'm going to take care of you. That's why you will never see a unhealthy vegetarian. Many of them, if they have issues, they were before they became vegan. Okay, I love you much.
Because I want to call and see about that colon cleanser.
Okay, you got it. Thank you, Dana, for calling
in. Okay, thank you, Doctor. Okay.
You're welcome. Good evening. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'm going to get another caller in here. We have another caller. Let me get the caller. Hi there. Hi there. Hi there. Are you there? Hi, caller. Hi there. This is Dr. Cupertino. You still there? Okay, well, I'm hoping they will be calling back. We have another caller here. Okay. Are you there? Are you there?
Hello.
Hi there. Hi there. Hi there. This is Dr. Cupertino.
Hi.
Hi there.
I just wanted to say that I have an Asian woman who's about 80 years old who walks around and is just as healthy as anyone.
Oh, you're kidding.
40 years old.
I don't hear that every day.
Her name is Aiko, and she's actually the person who does my colonics. And,
oh, my.
Chinese shih tzu massages and purging of toxins through heated pads after the colonic treatment. And
well, listen, how much does she weigh? Tell us how much.
She weighs about 80 pounds, maybe 90
tiny.
Pounds. She's tiny. She's about 5 feet tall. She wears probably like a 4.5 shoe, a 3.5.
No. You're kidding. Really?
And she says, And it was just so confirming what you said, but she actually is from Taiwan. And she's from overseas, and she learned from, she worked in a Catholic hospital, and she said that she worked on the floor with the cancer patients. And since she's 80 years old, she's actually 81, she'll be 82 in January. She said that she realized from working and putting her hands on the cancer patients and healing them, that when she cleaned their colons and gave them enemas and colonics, that they got better. And when they consistently...
That is a testimony there.
Yes. Once they consistently got rid of the things that were in their colon, the toxins, that they got better. And she said that she's been doing it for years. She does it in the United States. She does it for athletes. People come to her from all over the world. They send for her from other countries.
Oh,
and
my goodness, really?
Yes. And the bit of advice that she always tells me that I just wanted to share is that our body temperatures are warm inside and hot. and that we are not really supposed to be drinking things that are ice cold. Because we actually freeze and put our organs in shock from the cold temperature, ice water. Mm-hmm. Yes.
She's right on that. She's on the money on that.
And that's why Asians drink hot tea with all their meals, because it's the hot tea that allows you to digest better than stopping your intestines with cold.
Well, let me ask you this, hon. Does she have any advice for our listeners on salads? Someone emailed me some information about not eating the very cold salad. You're not supposed to have the salad.
Actually, you're not. You're not. She said to have
some information on that.
Yes, she said with regards, because I asked her about salads, you are not supposed to eat cold salads. She said the salads are supposed to be warmed up. And
that's very true again.
She said the dressings aren't supposed to be cold. The lettuce is not supposed. There is nothing that is supposed to be cold on your plate that you are to eat and digest and ingest. And she said when you pick things from the earth to eat, it is not refrigerated.
It surely isn't. They pick that most of the times, and they eat it right then that day. They don't hold anything.
That's correct. That's correct.
Now, are they practicing, what's her name, Aiko?
Her name is Aiko.
Now, are they practicing that in Taiwan? I know there are a lot of Asians that have become very westernized in their eating, and you can see a few, not a lot, but a few health problems cropping up because they've come to America, you know, and they let their hair down, so to speak, and they see all of these fast food places. Do they still practice good eating habits in 2009, according to her?
Well, I'm going to tell you, not only do a lot of the traditional, like she says, with traditional Chinese medicine and traditional Chinese culture, a lot of the families, if you notice, they eat together, and they eat family meals that are prepared, home prepared, and the ones that are intact still practice the traditional way of doing things.
Oh,
and believe it or not,
wonderful.
They believe in extended family living with them, living arrangements, and the entire culture not only promotes excellence in the things that they do that they're committed to, but longevity in life and exercise and meditation and prayer. And Aiko's actually not a Buddhist, but she's Christian. And,
really?
Yes, she is. She's Christian. And she goes to church, she prays, and she believes that God has given her a gift, and the gift is through her hands, and she uses her hands to clean people out and heal them.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let me ask you this. Now, does she, in the process of laying on of hands, Does she channel with the body, or does she just lay there and do some acupressure moves, or does she use acupuncture? I mean, what does she actually do?
Oh, no, she doesn't use acupuncture at all, but I can tell you exactly what she does. The first thing, she has hot cabs in her spa room. So after you finish your colonics, she puts your feet in hot water. Your feet are in hot water, and she gives you a Chinese tea. And it's a Chinese tea that she gets from China. And it's tea leaves, and she brews the tea. You drink the tea. And
but nothing crushed
up,
right? It's nothing crushed up in one of those muslin bags or the tea bags.
That's exactly what it is. And sometimes you can get a piece of bark from it. Yes, it's exactly that.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Wonderful.
And then she lays you down on the table, and the table is actually wood, solid wood. So it would be hard by some people's standards.
It sounds like it. I wonder how many Americans would really like that.
No,
I would. I sleep on wood three nights a week, but I'm thinking if it's solid wood, tell us what that wood actually does in the process. That wood is alive. So
yes, it is. Actually, the wood from a tree mm-hmm. trunk and tree bark is a living organism. And what people don't understand is that the life of the tree is in its roots mm-hmm. and its trunk, and that's where all the nutrients, which feeds the branches and the leaves, travel through. So you are on a solid wood table, if you really look at the wood, not pressed wood, not wood laminate, but true solid wood, you will see the rings in the root, in the wood.
Oh, wow, that's life.
That's right. And all of that are the lives and the rings in the tree, in the center of the tree, where the root and the trunk was. So you lay on the wood, and the wood has, she has a cloth on it. You lay on the back, and then she takes these hot towels that are wrapped in cloth, and she packs your body with the heated packs from your feet all the way to your face.
Is it after the colonic or before?
Yes.
I heard you say
after.
Oh, after that. Okay.
Now, but you have to know that during the colonic, she puts a heating pad on your back and on your stomach before the process begins.
Well, you know what? That process sounds like about an hour and a half, 2 hour process. If you're going to do
it
with the colonic, yeah, and then that, oh my God, that sounds just magnificent, especially if you're talking about healing the body. Well, here, I really want you to stay on because I have a couple of more questions for our listeners.
Okay.
You mentioned when you first called in about the colonic. Now, a lot of people don't understand what a colonic is. Some are not good. Some say, you know, maybe once a year is enough for me for colonic. I had someone email me about are colonics good for the community. Do you have any information from her concerning that? A colonic
Absolutely.
Good. Please, let's hear about that. Our listeners are
okay, interested. First of all, a colonic, they come up with, all right, let's first start with mainstream versions. There are a lot of mainstream versions of colonics, but the traditional colonic is an enema. That's what it is. It's an enema.
That's what it is. It's a high enema.
That's all it is. It's a high
mm-hmm.
enema, and you can get a Fleet bag from any drugstore. She uses Fleet. And what happens is you flush your colon and your intestines.
Is this with the,
with
the Fleet? Okay,
yes,
okay, here. Let me just back up. You're saying you can go into any drugstore. I've seen them. They come two to a pack or one to a pack.
Yes.
So she uses the Fleet enema first in the colonic
yes.
process, or does
yes.
she? Okay, I'm trying to see if she uses that in her colonic instruments, or does she have someone use the Fleet enema first to kind of, you know, break down something, and then she administers
yes.
a colonic?
Yes, she uses
the
Fleet first. Mm-hmm. First she heats up your back and your stomach with the pads, and
mm-hmm.
you lay there, and then she gives you the enema. Okay, with hot water. First, she just sensitizes your skin to the water, so she doesn't do anything the first couple of times. And then once you're given the enema, what happens is she said that a lot of people have air and gas in their bodies,
number one,
chewing gum and from eating cold foods and drinking cold liquid.
That's what I was told. I had my colonic. I was getting one a month, and my colonic said that, Doctor, you know what? I can tell that you chew gum. I stopped chewing that gum because she told me that chewing gum has a tendency to bloat. Yeah, and that's why some people walk around with big bloated stomachs when after a month from them stop chewing that gum, they say, oh, my goodness, what happened to my stomach? That gas caused all that bloat, and I was getting a tummy too, but hey, I went and saw her every month I was going. I haven't gone in the last 6 months because I just said, oh, well, I'm going to pray, lay hands, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to eat right in the first place so that I'm not putting anything in me that I have to have dredged out. But we all know irrigation is very useful. But I said, now, why am I spending $120 a month for a 45-minute process and then get off the table and go consume something that I know is not good? It was a waste of money. And psychically speaking, I was really trying to pull a con job on my body. And I knew eventually my body was going to backlash with some kind of disease because I'm out here trying to be a trickster with the process. And I knew that was not going to work. So I said, well, maybe once every 3 months. Now, if I go overseas or in traveling, you know, you're eating what's set before you. The first thing I do when I get off the plane, I'm heading to my colonics because I want to make sure that whatever gain I have in prayer, I want to keep it.
Yeah,
and it has worked. It's worked so far, so very good. But just before you, I want you to listen in, but if you have to go, that's okay. But let me ask you another question for our listeners. How would you, with your experience, explain to our listeners the fear that's out there about the colonic. Say someone listening is saying, you know, I've heard about that, you know, and I heard about it on the clump. I think it was some kind of movie with Eddie Murphy, and the woman sat up there and said, oh, I think I'm going to go get a colonic. And the man said, well, hell no, you know. If that's the case, you can run your, you know, so forth. It was in a movie. But how would you explain to listeners the value of a colonic so that fear element would not be there? Because certain races, and I'm not racist, certain races are very fearful of the colonic. And I heard this out of the mouth of my colonist. She says this particular race has more problems with colon cancer than any other race. And
yes,
she said it's very much partly due to their diet, especially the men. But
yes,
she said her friends over lunch or dinner will tell, oh, no, you know, I love you dearly, but I'm not coming there. I'm afraid, you know, I don't want anything put up in me. I don't know if it's going to be hurtful, blah, 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 blah. How can you allay the fear of some of our listeners?
Well, I would say that there's nothing to fear but fear itself. And you have to know that it's not painful. It's not anything that really hurts. The only thing that'll probably scare you initially is the fact that someone that you do not know is
mm-hmm.
handling you in an area that is private. So
very,
other
very
than
private.
Your own
very
pride,
private area.
Other than your own pride and your ego, there
uh-huh.
is really no damage at all being done to you. No,
okay, stop it. Okay, stop. What if they don't believe that? What if you know, I say it all the time to my patients and clients and say, okay, Doug, yeah, I understand that, but, you know, I'm still afraid.
Well, I'll say one thing to that.
Go further.
This is what I would say. I would say
what would you say?
Unfortunately, we live in a society where people believe the lies before the truth. And I will say
yes.
to you
yes.
that if you can trust a medical doctor and be convinced to put a synthetic, chemically engineered pill into your mouth and digest it because you're told that it will help you.
Yes.
Then
you go, girl.
And allow a person to put hot water to clean your rectum.
For
because
your own good.
Guess what? Mm-hmm. It's a natural resource from the earth. Water is a natural resource from the earth, and there are no chemicals involved. So if you cannot allow yourself to be cleansed, but you can ingest a toxin that's been chemically engineered in a lab, then there's something inherently wrong.
There's something wrong. They've been told wrong. They've heard wrong. But
they've
I heard you mention water.
Conditioned. They've been conditioned to. But see, herein lies the most critical aspect of it all. The bottom line is we have more cancer patients today than we've ever had, ever.
Oh, my God. Yes, it's an epidemic.
But what
also
we have is pollution, microwaves, fast food, frozen foods, and everything. And let's be real, genetically engineered and manipulated food sources.
Which is poison.
So if you can have.
It's future poison. That's what
right.
it is. It's poison today, but it'll show up in the future as more poison.
Right. So why not, if you're going to contend with all of those things, why not go ahead and give yourself a chance and get it right on out of you as soon as you put it in?
Well, I want you to also stay here because I just got an email in here saying, why don't you guys talk about Janet Jackson getting her colonics and Britney Spears and the fact that they have been using coffee. A coffee colonic. I know you're very wise. I can hear that in your voice. Do you know anything about the aspects of the coffee? Because I want to jump in on that too.
Well,
I'm
going to tell you how I personally feel, and this is just my opinion.
Please. Yeah,
The only place for coffee to go, as far as I'm concerned, is to be ingested through the mouth. And if
I thought you say that.
and if it's pure coffee from coffee beans without cream or sugar, I mean in its natural state, ground and perked, then it's supposed to be ingested through the mouth. And let me tell you, it will move you just fine. It will act as a cleansing agent that way. It's just that when you add the creams and the sugars and the flavors and the processes,
oh my God,
and
those artificial colors.
Huh?
Those artificial colors sometimes in that stuff.
That's why it has to be the pure ground coffee that's perked. And, you know, people don't understand that we actually take away the nutrients in our manipulation of the foods and we eat and the things we drink. So you don't have, you don't need a coffee salon.
Wow.
You can just drink black coffee and use a regular clear water cleansing colonic, and you're just fine.
And
if
you're going
you
to hydrate
right
that
food,
colon.
If you
that's
eat
what
the
I
right
said.
Food,
that's
the
right.
Food will do it for you. The vegetables will do it for you. Once
dark
you're
leafy
cleansed,
greens, all that.
Yes.
That's
greens
very
will
true.
Do it for you. Yes.
Well, I want you to, if you don't hang up, I'll love you forever, but I want you to send me an email about that beautiful Asian lady, MotherNature7@gmail.com. Give us some information on her.
I
just
will.
In case some of the callers would like to fly her into California. That's where we are at. Where are you calling from? I see 484 here on our switchboard.
I'm calling from Philadelphia, and she's located.
Oh, my goodness. You sound like a New Yorker girl.
I am. I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
Okay. I thought so. I'm a wise woman, I think, most of the time. What is your name, hon?
My name is Stephanie J.
It's Stephanie J.
Yes.
Do I know you? Are you my
do.
Sweetheart? Are you my sweetheart? Stephanie,
yes.
I'm going to wrap my arms around you. Listen, girl, I got your email. I got your email. I love you. I love you. I love you dearly. Well, guess what? You don't go anywhere because guess where Dr. Cupertino is going with this? I'm going to talk about guess what? Inside of that colon, and you kind of jump in here and you help us out. Inside of that colon, guess what, is the seat of the emotions. We're getting deep, deep, deep into the recesses of the colon and talk about the subconscious mind. The seat of the emotions are also housed in the colon. Old, stale memories that people tend to want to hang on to, some memories that are so embedded in the subconscious, they don't come out until there's some kind of trauma. Like if you're out with your family and you're having a good time and all of a sudden mommy says something that's wrong, your sister might say something wrong, you say, see there, you did that when you were a kid. I knew you hated me. The colon is the seat of memories. That mind rests there. Many people think the subconscious mind is somewhere in the head chamber, the brain chamber. That's why when people start to get a little shaky, they get a little nervous, they go on an interview and they start worrying, they stand
right
in the brain
stomach,
not sure if that check is going to clear. Guess what they say? Uh-oh, I got butterflies in my stomach.
Yes.
Something is happening, and it's really the brain sending a signal there through the way of the emotions, and that's why they're saying, oh, something's happening. You know, I get nervous and jittery, and all of a sudden they say, uh-oh, I feel sick in the tummy, such as the balloon boy when he was on national TV. What did he start doing? He started throwing up. He was automatically rejecting the heathenistic aspect of them trying to lay all of that on to the boy so that they could get some kind of a syndicated show. So our aspect, too, of this show is, hey, why am I broke? Why am I lonely? You're broke. You're lonely. You're all by yourself. You're frightened and you're scared because guess what? There's something going on in the colon. Once again, that colon, that transverse, adverse, descending, that colon that is supposed to take in all the good for the body, which we know, and you just said, Steph, that that doesn't happen with all this fast food, all the good that we're supposed to take in to sustain this beautiful temple, this beautiful body that's housing the Spirit of God. We're supposed to take in only the best for the best so that we can be blessed by the best. And when we don't, guess what? There is a price to pay for that. So if we're taking in things that are not good for us, guess what the colon is going to do? It's going to say, okay, I'm going to mess up your world. I'm going to mess you up. I'm going to tear you down. Now, you might not fall down to the ground then, but for some reason the phone rang and it's a creditor that you know you didn't pay it off 50 years ago. Or somebody would call there claiming, you know, I heard you didn't say something about me, girlfriend. Or somebody's going to knock on your door, hey, I was in the neighborhood. I heard you've been putting me down. Or you're going to get in your car and say, well, I'm going to the corner grocery store. I'm just going to get a loaf of bread. And bam, you're in an accident.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, all that we put in the body, it has an effect. Because guess what? Food and drink are chemicals. The body is nothing more than an electrolyted chemical pit. So if you're putting in the right chemicals, then the whole combustion of the body is going to act right. You're going to show up right. You're going to look right. And guess what? Your temperament. Have you ever seen a hateful, vicious vegetarian? I know you haven't. I bet you have not. Hollywood is run by vegetarians. Some might say the gay community, perhaps. But Hollywood is run by vegetarians. The movie moguls. Definitely, most of them, the majority of them, they might smoke, they might be a chain smoker, they're vegetarians. The people of wealth are vegetarians. I tell you for one thing I know, Steven Spielberg is not sitting around eating 3 and 4 steaks and then laying down at night with all that undigested meat in his body. Anytime a person misuses the body, the outer world is going to show up and it's going to throw them down. And
so aren't we acting like a bunch of cannibals, though? I mean, when
tell
you really
what.
Think about it.
Yes, we are. And I tell you what else we're acting like. The whole personality and nature of man is changing. That's why you're hearing, I don't know what's going on there per se, but here in California, the LA area, these killings and murderers and slayings, they're on the increase. But people do not realize that these so-called agricultural people are adding more toxins. They're adding more herbicides, pesticides. So many chemicals are being put in our bodies that our body is not able to cope. So the way the body copes is by fighting back. And since the body can't fight back what it cannot see, it's fighting back through circumstances. It's fighting back through lack. It's fighting back through loss. It's fighting back through, oh, hell, I don't give a you know what. And you call, if you put that kind of stuff out there in the universe, you're going to get it back. So if a person is broke, I tell you the secret to getting up out of that. Clean up your body, take a purse, clean the purse out, and sit down with that and see what happens to you. Fall on your knees and tell God all about it. Say, I'm hungry and I'm broke, I'm lonely, something has happened, I've done something, I haven't done something, show me how. And guess what? You will hear a voice from heaven saying, get up and fast. In other words, guess what? Meaning you ain't going to put the good food in you. You're not going to put the bad food in you because I've declared going to fast. Look through the Bible. Everybody that had a problem, guess what they did? They not only proclaimed the fast for the animal kingdom as well as the humankind, they ended up dressing in sackcloth and ashes, meaning every time I walk, I'm going to think about pain and misery because you know what? That sackcloth wasn't no joke. It was some kind of a burlap fabric that you could not really weave, and those stickers were like cactus in that sackcloth. I mean, those people, when they went to God for any kind of assistance, if there was a problem there, if it was no rain, if the crops were not growing right, any problem, and we're admonished to take your burdens and problems to the Lord and leave them there, but any problem the ancients have, they proclaimed a fast because they knew if you can shut down that digestive system, if you can shut that colon from working, if you can shut down the operations of the stomach, guess what? You will hear from heaven and you will be helped. I'm telling you, we need to think in terms of treating our bodies right. And you know what? I have some clients that are always griping and complaining about their circumstances. I don't know what to do with my life. My life is so messy. I don't know. But guess what? Follow them home. Look at what's in their refrigerator. Look at what they eat. And you know what? This world is no joke. There's no surprise to anyone that the meat now has been tainted. It's no surprise that meat right now is being recalled. It's just not out there. And the swine flu problem, oh, my God, a fight broke out in Redondo Beach because they were saying that some couldn't get it, that wanted it, and some that felt privileged wanted to have some of that. And Farrakhan, Minister Farrakhan, said something that was so funny. I heard a clip that went something like this about that swine flu. He says, do y'all know what they putting in that damn swine flu? They say it's this, but it might be that. And he went on to saying a whole lot of other things. But look, every time there is something going on in the world, be it military or other, that should take precedence in our lives as far as us giving it attention, something else will come up to take our mind off of that and put it out of something else. And now look at the predicament that we are in. Now, I want to ask you another question. Young lady,
yes?
Did you know that the colon is a unit of currency? Spanish currency, colon, is used, and the Portuguese use colons for currency. Money overseas is called the colon because of its way of moving around in the world in a form of an exchange, spiritual and other. Did you know that, Steph? I bet you did.
No, actually, I did not.
I went online, and I found this out. And
wow.
I thought about that. Anything that's moving through the body, it can move in the outer world. That's why I tell people, we have a product called colon and stomach fumigation product. And what it does, it's a three-unit product. It gets stale fecal matter out of the body. It's used to dislodge foreign matter, foreign anything that should not be in the body. And it's very, very good. And I can't really keep it on the shelf. But while we have that, people, and I hope our callers have heard what you've had to say. I know I've taken in a little bit of that myself because you've said some things that have raised my brow. But if people can think in terms of cleansing and cleaning the body, not just the colon will clean itself if you eat right. So
correct.
If they think in terms of cleansing the entire body, if you clean the body, you got to clean the mind because that blood is circulating through the body, the brain, every aspect of you, your nails, your all sinew in the body. The blood has to circulate. So if they concentrate on cleansing the body, detoxifying the body, the colon will go right along with that. I don't
correct.
Want to leave our callers with just thinking that you can run and do something to cause the effect. You have to purpose in your mind. You have to purpose in your heart that this is a new year coming. I'm sick of the old me. My old me hasn't worked. I've done everything I know how to do. I've begged, I've pleaded, I've cried to God, and ain't nothing happened yet. Well, it's happening now because you have Stephanie on the line. You have Dr. Kopp here on the line. And we're here with information that will not only help you today, but it will certainly help your family. And I was reading in the LA Times an article, April 28th of 1950. God, that's almost 60 years ago. And almost 60 years ago. The newspaper reported that drunkards always end up with colon problems. And while the drunkard is getting drunk, he suffers no pain. He's hard to live with, and you cannot discover organic disease in a drunkard. Isn't that something? So I guess it's the alcohol that deadens not only pain, but it hides disease. So anyone that you know out there that's an alcoholic or taking more of his fair share of liquor, he might be a walking death pit because he's probably one step from death, maybe 2 or 3 months from death, and does not know it because the alcohol, I know medical studies have shown that before they performed surgeries in the medieval time, you got drunk.
Yes.
They had no anesthesia. That came about in the 1800s. They had no anesthesia. So what did they do? They covered the pain by doping them up with liquor, not by any other substance. And I guess it obviously worked. I didn't get any research on that to show that it didn't. Now, also, I want to touch this, and I want you to close this out on this, Stephanie. Now, people may not know that gloom and depression,
yes.
You know, depression is on the rise.
Yes.
Gloom and depression has a direct correlation to the colon. Can you talk to us about that? You're a smart young lady. Give us some feedback. Maybe something you have heard. But gloominess, depression, sadness, crying all the time.
Well,
what do you think the colon has to do with that?
Well, see, the first thing you have to understand is the intestines, both the large and the small intestine and the colon, everything, that's like a housing unit, if you can think of it that way. So
housing
as soon
unit.
As you, yes, I think of it as a housing unit. It's a storage facility. Let's say it's a storage facility. So everything you take in, the nutrients go where they go. They're absorbed where they need to be absorbed, and then everything else is deposited in the storage facility. And most oftentimes, those are the things that either cannot be digested or that are no good for you. That's where it's housed. So if you are not eating things that will push that out and get rid of it, it just stays there. And anything that stays there will collect on the walls, collect and then eventually block and permeate and do everything that it can into your blood and your system, and everything that travels through your circulatory system feeds the brain and the emotions, and it's toxic. And anything that's physically toxic is going to be emotionally toxic, emotionally draining. You know, they're diagnosing women with chronic fatigue syndrome. I'm sorry?
Yeah, you are right about that.
You know,
they're diagnosing people with
CFS, which is chronic fatigue syndrome, which leads to hopelessness and depression and all of those things. And I'm here to tell you that everything is a result of what you eat. You must eat to live. And in order to eat to live, you cannot eat things that are dead on your plate. Anything that's on your plate, it has to be a living organism for you to live.
That is so good, Stephanie, hearing that, because you know what? I just heard about Jack LaLanne. He's 95. They celebrated him here in the Los Angeles area, and he said on national televised TV that he works out 2 hours a day, and he says you've got to keep the body up, exercise, and hydrated. And when we start thinking about the law of attraction, if you're eating anything dead, like Stephanie said, you're going to attract the dead circumstances in your life. You don't have to look around and wonder. Try it for just 1 week. Try changing what you eat for 1 week. You're a living body. Try taking in living food for 1 week, and I can guarantee you, and this young lady with this information can also guarantee you, that your outer life will mirror the inner. And when we stop begging God for material things, stop begging God to fix your car, stop begging God for your rent, when we stop doing that and concentrate on the fact that it might be us, it might be something that we are doing, and it might lead to what we're putting in, then we will be a living soul. We will be attracting only good, because if I'm a toxic filled with fecal matter that's been there for 20 years, chances are I've had 20 minutes worth of problems. I've had 20 years, rather, worth of problems in hell. So basically, when we start thinking of the law of attraction, if your colon is stuffed up, blocked up, congested, your life is blocked up, stopped up, and congested. And God knows the colon is there to get everything that shits out of the body. And it's so very good. When you know you're doing right, your world becomes right. When you tell the universe by your actions that you're trying to be all that you can be, the universe will bless you. Tune in next week for the Dr. Copertino Show. I sure hope Stephanie calls in. We're going to be talking about cancer and the presidents of the United States and who had cancer and why. Please turn in. I will be speaking about the health of Obama. I will be speaking about the health of Obama's family. I will be speaking about over half of the presidents and how they had cancer, why they had cancer. I'll be speaking on the first seance that was held in the White House when someone became ill. I'll tell you who that someone is. I'll be talking about a lot of aspects of presidential health that affects the health from a presidential standpoint of America. If we have a healthy president in office, America will be healthy. So we do want you to tune in on that and listen and learn about the health of America today and what the health of America will be in the upcoming days, weeks, and years. You've been listening to the Dr. Cupertino Show. Tune in next week, and thank you, guys. Love you, Steph. I'll see you
next
week.
Too.
See ya, Dr. Cupertino. Bye-bye.